This podcast was recorded Thursday, August 6th at 10:31 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like the next Ohio governor will love the state fair as much as Mike DeWine does. I doubt it. He is out there every single day. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who cannot pass up the chance to cut a ribbon or break some ground. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the love-hate relationship between politicians and data centers earns our Snollygoster of the Week award. But first, speaking of relationships, up until a couple of months ago, very few Ohioans outside of his district knew who Congressman Max Miller was. They may recall he's the guy who took former Congressman Anthony Gonzalez's redrawn district seat after the former OSU wide receiver did not seek re-election. But Max Miller was no Jim Jordan, no household name in Ohio politics, until this summer. That's when details of his bitter divorce from Emily Marino and the resulting custody battle came to light. Adding to the drama is that Marino is the daughter of U.S. Senator Bernie Marino. Objectively, this is an ugly breakup. Emily Marino, in court filings, accuses Miller of physically abusing her and their two-year-old daughter. Miller denies the allegations and says his ex-wife has mental health issues. These accusations have been percolating under the surface for weeks. A couple of weeks ago, a PAC supporting Miller's opponent reportedly placed thousands of robocalls to voters in his district, highlighting the allegations. Then came word that internal polling showed Miller's Democratic opponent, Brian Poindexter, was close in the reliably red congressional district. Then Sunday morning, Miller took to X and held a 15-minute live stream to refute the allegations.
My former wife is engaging in a pattern of reporting incredible, serious, and destructive allegations with absolutely no evidence. Every one of these allegations was investigated. And I say that again, every single one of these allegations were already investigated. And I cooperated fully every single time because I had nothing to hide and I have nothing to hide now.
That prompted his former father-in-law, Senator Marino, to post a statement calling on him to drop his reelection bid and calling him a danger to his daughter, something he repeated Tuesday as captured by TMZ DC.
My daughter lives in constant fear of this man. Not like something that's existential, but deeply in her heart, she fears what this guy is capable of. You can't fathom what that makes me feel like when the dad's number one job is to protect your kids. And to have this whole thing out in the public like this is not what I wanted to do. It's not what my daughter wanted to do.
Miller could drop out of the race in time for the Republican Party to put a replacement candidate on the ballot, but he has to do it by Monday. Miller says he has no intention of doing that. He is going to fight. To help unpack this story, we are joined by Abby Vasoulis, national politics reporter for Mother Jones, and we are proud to say a one-time news intern for us here at WOSU Public Media. Abby, it is good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to WOSU, at least on the digital level. We appreciate you taking the time. You've covered this story extensively, and we'll talk about the politics in a moment. But you did write a very lengthy piece about 3 weeks ago detailing all of the court filings and the allegations. There were thousands of pages of documents you went through. So many allegations. Which ones stood out to you as you dug through them and wrote your piece?
Mm-hmm. So I first was flipping through 1,000-plus pages of their custody proceedings, which I obtained through public records requests. And then those pointed to other public records that I should reach out about. So, for example, there was this reference to a Bay Village, Ohio police investigation into possible child abuse. So I got that investigative report, and in there, Emily Moreno was seen telling the detectives investigating their child's broken collarbone that she couldn't rule out that Congressman Miller had inflicted the injury upon their daughter because, according to Emily Moreno, Miller had previously thrown hot water at her, shoved her against a wall, leaving bruises, and held a gun to her head. And so those allegations were so concerning to me that I continued to flip through 2,000 plus documents to see that there were multiple other allegations by Emily that Congressman Miller had a pattern of using drugs and abusing other women.
Now, he has strongly denied all of these allegations, and he actually released some documents himself. I haven't gone through them. There was a controversy in that as well. But what is he saying? What is Congressman Miller saying in response to this?
Congressman Miller says that he has never hurt a woman, that he adamantly denies having ever hurt his 2.5-year-old daughter, whom he loves deeply. He says that Emily Moreno is mentally ill and therefore shouldn't be trusted, and that all of the stories coming out are the left-wing media trying to sabotage his election. But I feel that I have to point out that it's not just Emily Moreno who has allegedly been abused by Congressman Miller. In 2021, Stephanie Grisham, who was a press secretary in the first Trump administration, she wrote a book and a Washington Post expert in which she said that another White House aide, who we now understand to be Max Miller, had assaulted her as well. And she wrote that she even told President Donald Trump and Melania Trump about this abuse and that they didn't do anything about it.
And they were
So that's another woman
Miller and Grisham were in a
alleging
relationship at the
abuse.
time, right? They were like girlfriend and boyfriend at the time that this happened.
Correct.
Yeah. And there was also a woman from college and a woman from high school that Miller has been accused of harming.
Correct. So in 2021, when Congressman Miller was running for his first term in the House, there was an extensive article by Politico that cited three witnesses in describing that in high school, Miller had pushed a woman down the stairs for denying his physical advances on her. And I reached out to this woman a couple weeks ago, and she told me that she really didn't want to talk about it. However, it was one of the more traumatic nights of her life.
Now, as we've mentioned, these are allegations. Miller has not been charged in connection with any of these allegations. He says he has text messages. He also points to cordial visits. He says that Emily Moreno made to his home in the midst of all of this. Will we ever be able to get beyond the he said, she said situation in this story, do you think?
I can't be sure, but from my understanding, domestic violence allegations are very hard to end up resulting in convictions for a number of reasons. One, because it is a lot of he said, she said. Usually there's not recording of, alleged assault actually taking place. It's just people recounting alleged assault. And then the other reason is that this is a really when abuse actually happens, it's a really traumatic experience for those involved. And a lot of victims of domestic violence do not come forward to police. And in the case of Emily Moreno, she told police that she didn't originally report Miller for the allegations of like throwing hot water at her and holding a gun to her head because she was afraid that, quote, nobody would believe her. So I think that's another element that makes these things hard to prove is fear and lack of video footage.
Yeah, and then you add the fact that these are very high-profile individuals, the daughter of a U.S. senator and a sitting congressman. You wrote your story on July 18th. These stories have been around for a few months. You broke some new elements to it, and you point out that even a few years ago, other organizations were writing about Max Miller. Why did this blow up now? Why did Miller choose Sunday, August 2nd to make his live video statement, do you think? Do you know?
So I have to say, I have to give credit to Ohio outlets. Spectrum News and the Akron Beacon Journal were really good at covering some of the custody disputes before I did. And of course, Politico in 2021 wrote a really extensive article citing 60 plus people. So my reporting in mid-July was a culmination of, you know, previous people's excellent reporting and then additional documents that I obtained that I think provided more context to Miller's persona. And then a couple weeks later, the New York Times published a story that referenced many of the same court documents that I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that story really blew up online. And then people were searching for other sources, other news outlets and their coverage of it. And then my story had like another life cycle weeks after I had published it.
Yeah. And then the senator weighed in. He said he was prompted by the live stream video. He said he did not want to bring this public. He said his daughter had asked him not to, escalate this situation. But he's weighed in now twice, one online, and then he did. At first, he seemed reluctant to talk to reporters in the hallway, but then he stopped and he talked for several minutes. Why do you think he's weighing in now?
Well, he's been getting a lot of vitriol online. People are saying that it's appalling that Senator Moreno, if he knew the things that Emily alleges happened to her, that why has he never spoken out about his former son-in-law or done anything about his former son-in-law to make sure that he's not physically present around Senator Moreno's granddaughter or Senator Moreno's daughter, Emily Moreno? And again, I want to say these are allegations. Mm-hmm. But if those allegations were true, a lot of parents were saying online that they could have never waited this long to address the concern.
And that small news, news gaggle, little brief news conference with just a handful of reporters, there was an odd detail that came out about a stuffed animal. The name of it, was it a bunny, with a blue bunny or something like that? There was Emily Marino's daughter's stuffed animal that Bernie Moreno accused Max Miller of holding hostage for 2 days. What's up with mm-hmm. that?
So this is about a little blue stuffed bunny. And during that gaggle, Senator Moreno said that Max Miller had withheld the stuffed animal during a custody exchange and was refusing to give it back. And Emily Moreno has said that this is a really sentimental object for their 2.5-year-old. A lot of 2.5-year-olds have a favorite stuffed animal that they sleep with every night.
Oh, parents of 2.5-year-olds know this story very well. It was about favorite stuffed animals.
Yeah. Yes. So Congressman Miller went online and called Senator Moreno a liar and posted some screenshots showing proof that he was open to giving the bunny back, but he wanted it to be done in a very specific way. He wanted Senator Moreno to pick it up, not some friend of the family intermediary. However, I obtained last night some additional screenshots from a source showing that this saga over allegedly holding a stuffed animal hostage, so to say, is a pattern. So I have screenshots of emails and text messages dating back to 2025, showing that there were multiple occasions where Emily Moreno and her lawyers were begging Congressman Miller and Miller's lawyers for Miller to give the bunny back because the young child was so distraught over not having the bunny.
Unbelievable. It really is. It goes to the sadness of this case. I mean, regardless of where the truth is, the fact that they are fighting over a stuffed animal sort of encapsulates this whole situation. You know, I can't help but think that the timing of this, the party in Ohio faces a deadline it's Monday. The drop dead deadline is Monday. There was another deadline that was the 5th. If they want to replace Max Miller on the ballot, he's got to drop out now. This is the same thing that happened to Graham Plattner up in Maine. Allegations of abuse were around for a while, but then they grew, and then that deadline to get a new candidate on the ballot approached, and the pressure for him to drop out really mounted. I have to think some of that is going on here. That if he's gonna lose, which apparently he's in danger of doing, it's at least a close race in a very red district. If they're going to get somebody else to replace him, they've got to do it now. So the pressure has to be huge on him this weekend.
Right. Yeah. So I'm starting to hear senators, Republican senators, are speaking out. There's at least two that I know of that have said that Max Miller should drop out of the race, if only because the balance of power in the House and the Senate are so close that even if Miller did none of these things, the allegations could cost him the race, and that would hurt the entire Republican Party in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. And it's having, you know, blowback on other politicians. You know, Don Leonard, he's a Democrat running against Republican Mike Carey, the congressman from the Columbus area. Don Leonard is already using a picture of Max Miller and Mike Carey participating on a panel discussion to use it against Mike Carey in a fundraising email. So I'm not sure how many people pay attention to those, but you can see how the guilty by association is going to be a part of the campaign should Max Miller stay in.
Yeah, and I've also heard from sources that they're worried about the governor's race, that Republicans may be so upset that Congressman Miller has refused to step aside that maybe they don't show up to vote at all for any of the midterm races. And we already know that midterms generally get less turnout than presidential cycles. So even if it's, you know, a couple thousand people in Ohio District 7 that are like, I'm just not going to vote because I'm a Republican and I'm upset at everything being alleged, that could have an effect on the Ohio governor's race.
Yeah, his Democratic opponent, Max Miller's Democratic opponent, Brian Poindexter, is a union iron worker, local city council member. You know, Miller in 2024, he won re-election pretty easily, but it was a three-way race, and Miller only got 51% of the vote. Democrat Matthew Diemer got 36%, and Dennis Kucinich, the former Democrat, former mayor of Cleveland, former presidential candidate, ran as an independent and got 13%. So it's not like he lit the world on fire 2 years ago, Max Miller, in winning his re-election.
Yeah, I think part of that is because there had already been allegations out there against him, even when he was running for his first term. So he isn't necessarily the ideal candidate just because there were multiple people who had accused him of reckless behavior. And he has a history of, in his youth, and this was a long time ago, but he has a history of charges relating to driving into a pole near Miami University. And I found, that was in 2011, I found that toxicology reports show that he was on Klonopin, which is a benzo, and MDMA, which is more commonly known as ecstasy or Molly. Mm-hmm. So these are things, you know, dating back several years, but they were there before all of this new stuff was alleged.
Now, as we said at the top, things may have changed by the time you hear this. We sit here on Thursday. What should we be watching for this weekend, Abby?
I think, you know, we're waiting to see if more Republican members of the House or Senate start to call for Miller to drop out. Like, at some point, I think it becomes sort of untenable to continue to run if half of your caucus is angry at you for staying in the race because of what staying in the race could mean for control of the House of Representatives.
And we should be watching President Trump to see if he weighs in over the next couple of days.
He's
kind of stayed out of it. He's saying, you know, he doesn't know much. He thought that he was a good guy. I think at some point Miller was a good guy, but he hasn't really called for him to leave.
Correct.
Mike DeWine also has not called for Max Miller to step aside or to drop out of the race. He says that is for voters to decide. Voters may actually decide this come November. Abby Fazulis, national politics reporter for Mother Jones, thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
Thanks for having me.
Great to hear your voice again. Take care.
You too.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Snollygoster. Coming up, our Snollygoster of the Week segment. But first, we want to ask a favor. If you like this podcast, we ask you to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. But another way to help us is to share this episode or the podcast in general on social media or on Reddit. Just spread the word one person at a time, and that'll help us grow our audience, especially, you know, as we get closer and closer to the fall election. And this Ohio campaign is really going to be heating up. We think we're going to have a lot of interesting things to talk about, and we want to spread the word about what we're doing. So thank you. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the last half fortnight. This week it goes to the latest politician to beat up on data centers. Last week, Democrat Amy Acton said as governor she would impose a conditional moratorium on data centers. They could be built, provided they meet a list of requirements, including paying for their own power and using union labor. But it was not a ban or a firm halt to data center construction. That opened the door for Libertarian candidate for governor Don Kissick. This week, he called for an immediate moratorium on every new data center project in Ohio. No new data center construction until the state comes up with new rules for the computer warehouses. Before this week's statement, Kissick was tough on data centers, but did not call for any kind of temporary ban. His statement does not indicate why he has changed his stance, only that he points out that this goes beyond Amy Acton's conditional moratorium. Whatever the reasons, he got headlines and attention, and it was pretty shrewd for that Libertarian candidate for Governor Don Kissick. And for that, he gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. But it will be short-lived, because breaking news this morning, Republican Vivek Ramaswamy is out for his get tough policy on data centers. The data center supporter now says that if you live nearby a data center, you won't have to pay for any electricity. We'll talk about that next week on Snollygoster, a little tease for next week's episode. So the war, you know, the partial war on data centers is growing among candidates for governor in Ohio. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We are a part of the NPR network. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.